You can't.
You can't read yet. Okay, but you can hear. Yeah. So this is very good. So if you respond by reciting what you heard, then this is very good. Actually, hearing will learn an amazing amount. Okay. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Kutas.
Kutas.
Tva.
Tva.
Kashmalam.
Kashmalam.
Idam.
Idam.
Kutastva kashmalamidam
kushamasva kashmalamidam
visheme
samupashtitam
visheme samupashtitam anarya jushtam asvargyam anarya jushtam asvargyam akirti karam arjuna akirti karam arjuna shri bhagavan uvacha kutastva kashmalam idam Vishame samupashtitam Anarya jushtam asvargyam Akirti karamarjuna Shri Bhagavan uvacha Kutastva kashmalamidam Vishame samupashtitam Anarya jushtam asvargyam Akirti karamarjuna
Shri Bhagavan uvacha
Shri Bhagavan uvacha
Kutastva kashmalam idam
Kutastva kashmalam idam
Vishvame samupastitam
Vishvame samupastitam
Anarya justam asvargyam
Anarya justam asvargyam
Akirti karam arjuna
Akirti karam arjuna
Shri Bhagavan uvacha
Kutastva kashmalam idam
Vishame
samupashtitam
Anarya
jushtam asvargyam
Akirti
karam arjuna
Shri Bhagavan uvacha
Kutastva
kasalam idam
kutastva kashmalam idam
vishme
samupastitam
anarya jushtam
asvargyam
akirti karam arjuna
akirti karam arjuna
Shri Bhagavan
uvacha
Kutastva kashmalam idam
Kutastva kashmalam idam
Vishame samupashtitam
Vishame samupashtitam
Anarya jushtam asvargyam
Anarya jushtam asvargyam
Akirti karam arjuna
Akirti karam arjuna Shri Bhagavan uvacha
Kutastva
kasmilam idam Vishame samupastitam Anarya jushtam asvargyam Akirti Karamarjuna.
Good.
Mahamantraji, you want to have a look?
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Kutastva kashmalam idam.
Kutastva kashmalam idam.
Vishame samupashtitam.
Vishame samupashtitam.
Anarya jushtam asvargyam.
Anarya jushtam asvargyam.
Akirti Karamarjuna.
Akirti Karamarjuna. Have a go. It's you got nothing to lose by having a go. We won't laugh at you. We'll be very glad if you even can do it, even a small part.
No.
Sri Bhagavat Avaka.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
Kutas Tva Kasmalam Idam.
Kutas Tva Kasmalam Idam.
Visam Samapas Ditam.
Vishame Samupastitam.
Anaya Justam Asvajyam.
Anarya Justam Asvargyam.
Akati Karam. Arjuna.
Akirti Kalam Arjuna.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Can you remember how to do it, Prabhu? If you can remember it, you're doing very well.
Prashant, you want to remember it? Come on.
Shri Bhagavan Vashava.
Shri Bhagavan Vasha.
Kutastva Kasmalam Idam.
Katasva Kashmalamidam.
Visham Samupashtitam.
Vishame Samupashtitam.
Anarya Justam Asvargyam.
Anarya Justam Asvargyam.
Akirti Karam Arjuna.
Akirti Karam Arjuna.
Excellent.
Krishna Prabhu.
Shri Bhagavad Vacha.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha.
Kutastva. Kasmidam.
Kutastva Kasmalamidam.
Vision. Vision.
Vishame Samupashtitam.
Arya Justam Asvargyam.
Anarya Justam Asvargyam.
Arjuna.
Akirti Karamarjuna.
Great. You're all doing very well. Good. So, actually, by practice, we get good. Or at least better. So, it's very good. I'm impressed. Okay, this Bhagavad Gita was actually, you may be surprised to know, this Bhagavad Gita was sung 5,000 years ago between Krishna and Arjuna on a battlefield. Just so that people like you and I, even now, 5,000 years later, would be able to repeat this conversation and discuss it and get the benefit. What were they talking about on that battlefield? What was that conversation really meant for me and for you? And the answer is yes. That's exactly why Krishna and Arjuna were speaking it, so that we now, in this day and age, and every day and age, but especially it's relevant to us, we can benefit from it.
Okay, so do
you
want to
talk?
Five things.
Is Mahamantra Prabhu okay? Does he need a seat? Or
do you need a seat, Prabhu? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize he was going out the way.
We thought he was downstairs speaking.
Would you like a seat, Prabhuji?
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much.
I'd just like to say what you learned about Bhagavad Gita on Saturday.
Okay.
Say.
Five things all about us, where we live, what we do, time, and Krishna.
Okay. Very good. You learned about this on Saturday on Bhagavad Gita.
Children class.
Oh, this is at
our temple.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's doing the children's class?
Pradyumna Prabhu.
Oh, right. Very good. Okay, great. So that's going on.
Yeah, first session happened on Saturday.
Excellent. That's really impressive. What time is that?
7 a.m.
7 a.m. Fantastic. A really good time in the morning for studies. Very good. I'm impressed. Great. Okay. So let's read the word meaning while we're waiting for the chair to come flying up the stairs and manifest. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
Kuta.
Kuta.
Where from?
Where from?
Tva.
Tva.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Kashmalam.
Kashmalam.
Dirtiness.
Dirtiness.
Let's just make nice arrangements so that everyone You know, when they have a story they're telling, especially his story, they ask, is everyone sitting comfortably?
Are you agreeing that chair?
Yeah.
Woman like this?
No, this is not.
You sure?
Yeah, as long as I've just got a chair. I'm going to turn it round this way. Because you
okay, that's good. So, are you both okay?
That's fine, yeah.
All right. Are you all okay apart from that on the floor? We're sitting comfortably?
Yeah.
Then we'll begin again. Okay. Kashmalam.
Kashmalam.
Dirtiness.
Dirtiness.
Idam.
Idam.
This lamentation.
This lamentation.
Vishame.
Vishame.
In this hour of crisis.
In this hour of crisis.
Samupashtitam.
Samupashtitam.
Arrived.
Arrived.
Anarya.
Anarya.
Persons who do not know the value of life. Jushtam.
Practiced by.
Asparagyam.
Asparagyam.
Which does not lead to higher planets. Akirti.
Infamy.
Karam.
Karam.
The cause of.
Arjuna.
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 Okay, so what does infamy mean? Who knows what infamy means?
Bad reputation.
So if someone is famous, that means a lot of people know about them, right? You know, that means their reputation is spread far and wide. But infamy means they've become famous for all the wrong reasons. It means they're famous as being not good people. Just like King Yudhisthira and Arjuna. They're very famous because everyone knows they're very pious, doing very wonderful things for the world. But where you've got Kamsa, he's famous for being a complete rascal and a demon and a rogue and killing people and giving everyone a hard time. So this is infamous. So here the word is being used, infamy. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy." So please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
My dear Arjuna.
My dear Arjuna.
How have these impurities come upon you?
How have these impurities come upon you?
They are not at all befitting.
They are not at all befitting.
A man who knows the value of life.
A man who knows the value of life.
They lead not to higher planets.
They lead not to higher planets.
But to infamy.
But to infamy.
So if you have a pathway, if your pathway leads you to a royal kingdom where you can amass lots of wealth and great happiness, that's a good path to follow. But if your path leads you down to the edge of a cliff when you're going to go, and fall over, this is not a good path to follow. So Arjuna's being told by Krishna that this dirtiness in your heart, these things which have come upon you, are not suitable qualities to decorate someone who knows the royal principles of life. Because Bhagavad Gita was originally spoken to the royalty. Krishna spoke it to the king of the sun planet, whose name was?
Vivashvan.
Yeah. And Vivashvan spoke it to his son, Ikshaku, another king, great king. And he explained it to his son, Manu. And the saintly kings all understood it in this way. So this Bhagavad Gita is meant for people who are in the who actually have a royal understanding of life, who have a really clear, good understanding. Because the king is supposed to know enough about life to be able to guide all his citizens. If he doesn't know any better than his citizens, what's the use in him being the king? How will he lead them if he doesn't have any better knowledge? So this knowledge was spoken for the kings. And the kings were meant to rule the world by this knowledge. Without that knowledge, they were blind like everyone else. And so their rule was meant to be, that information, that knowledge is meant to be handed down. And so Arjuna, he's in a great difficulty, because for a king, for a military man, the king, he has to have royal weapons and soldiers and so many things. If a king becomes non-violent, it's meaningless, isn't it? Yeah, a non-violent king, how is he going to chastise anyone and keep everyone in order? Just like if the teacher, if she can't actually tell anyone off, what use is it going to be? How will anyone benefit? So the king's role is very important. He has to learn to keep everyone nicely in order so that everyone can make progress and lead their path towards the higher planets and ultimately back to Krishna. But if he leads everyone over the cliff to becoming famous for all the wrong reasons, this is a bad direction to go in. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that you've spoken that you're not going to fight, and that you don't want to fight and kill all your family members who are here. But the Kshatriya, you know, when he has to fight, he has to fight, even if it's his son on the opposing army. His duty is he has to fight. That's the Kshatriya code. That if you have to fight a war, even if it's your sons, you have to kill them. I'm not suggesting that Chaitanya Nitya or Kirtan should start wiping out their children. No, it's not like that. But what I'm saying is that the Kshatriya spirit was such that when you have a fight on your hands, you have no choice but you have to do it. Doesn't matter who it is. Because Arjuna, he doesn't want to fight with his cousin brothers, and he doesn't want to fight with his teacher. He doesn't want to fight with his grandfather and cause them to be killed. But actually it's his duty to fight. So he's become bewildered. He's lost the plot about what he should do and what he should not do. So Krishna is going to gradually explain to him, Arjuna, you're speaking like very elevated words, but actually this is not very intelligent. Because someone who is wise doesn't lament either for the living or the dead. Because someone who's a Kshatriya or a Brahmin is supposed to know, first and foremost, that I'm not the body. Because his fighting has to be done not on some sentiment that, oh, I like this person, I don't like that person. His fighting has to be on the principle of duty. And he knows that even if I get killed in the course of doing my duty, if I'm doing my duty properly and fighting, then I may go to the heavenly planets, or I may go to Vaikuntha. So there's no loss for me, so therefore let me fight. And whoever wins, there's no problem. One of us has to die. Because when you have a fight, when you have a Kshatriya type fight, then one of them has to be killed. That's the way it is. Yeah. That's the military warfare. So, but we don't have fights like that in school very often, I'm glad to say. But but in Arjuna's school, when Arjuna went to school and Duryodhana went to school, they had to learn to fight and to be ready to kill or be killed. They had to learn that sort of warfare. That was their military school they had to go to. And they had great, great respect for their teacher, Duryodhana. He's their guru. He's their teacher. And so they didn't want to... Arjuna didn't want to kill him. And so he's got all these different ideas about why he shouldn't fight. But Krishna is saying that this idea, all these sentiments that you've got, that, oh, I don't want to do this, these are impurities in your heart. And these impurities are causing you to not act according to the rules of Dharma, according to what you must do, what is your duty in life. And so, Arjuna, you should give it up. Give up this petty weakness of heart and fight. Don't even think about it. Just go out there and fight. Don't think that you won't become happy. You'll become happy just by doing your duty and fighting. So it's his duty for a Kshatriya. Come in, Matiji. Hare Krishna, come on in. Please make yourselves comfortable. So let's make sure there's enough space here. I don't know if anyone else will come. You never know. Let's see. This is Ashok Prabhu's. Okay, so let's read the verse and then Srila Prabhupada's purport. So the verse one more time. Do we have any spare Bhagavad Gitas for the ladies?
Yeah, should be.
Are you okay with English Bhagavad Gita, or you want Gujarati Bhagavad Gita?
English.
Could someone like to relinquish a copy and share? There aren't any more in here. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. If you want to share, and we'll work it out. Okay. So the verse is on chapter 2, text 2. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy." So we were discussing last week about how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's identical. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and Krishna, they are the same thing. Therefore, all the time, Krishna is addressed as Bhagavan, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. And we discussed last week about how the Absolute Truth is understood in three phases, both Bhagavan, the Supreme Person, and what's the second phase of understanding God?
Paramatma,
which means the Supersoul in everyone's heart. So God is in one place, he's in his own planet, and he comes down to this earth, but he's also known as Paramatma, because he's seated within everyone's heart. The two living entities in the heart. Two atmas. Two souls in the body. There's you and Krishna. So the super soul is there in the body. And also, what is the third phase of understanding Krishna?
Brahman,
yes. Krishna is energy. Krishna is effulgence. So just like if we can understand that if you want to supposing you want to cook nice dal, rice, sabji and chapatis. Yeah. It means you have to have some energy to go out there and do it. So by Krishna's energy, this whole material world is being created from Krishna's energy. Just like if you take your prasadam, you take your dal bhat, you know, you take your rice and dal and chapati, it takes some energy to create it, but it takes a person to use their energy to create it. So this whole material world is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. But Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that this material nature is working under my direction. So Krishna is directing his energy to make everything in such a nice way. It's very easy to understand. Just like the dal, rice, sabji, chapatis, they come out very nice because you use your energy in a very nice way and you create something very good. Yes? So Krishna, he's used his energy, his material energy, or his Brahman energy, to manifest the material world and also the spiritual world. So therefore Krishna says, "Aham sarvasya prabhava." I am the source of all the spiritual worlds and the material worlds. So just as the energy to make the prasadam, or the cooking, is coming from your body, so the energy to create all the material world and the spiritual world is coming from Krishna's body. Yeah? So that Brahman, from which everything is created, that is the effulgence coming from Krishna's body. Just like the sun has got its energy, and we see the sun coming through the window. Not the planet, but the sun's energy coming through the window. You can't say that it's completely different. There's a difference. Just like the sun, if the sun comes into the room right now, we're cooked. Is it not? Everyone is completely cooked. But the sun and the sun's energy, in one sense they're the same, very bright, effulgent, but the sun's energy is dependent on the sun, on the energetic sun. So similarly, this material world, Brahman, is dependent, this energy is dependent on the energetic Krishna, like that. So we were discussing like this. So Prabhupada's explaining in the purport,
Let's read, actually, Mahamantra Prabhu. Can you read the second paragraph for us, please, on page 63, the one that begins, these three divine aspects?
These three divine aspects can be explained by the example of the sun, which also has three different aspects, namely the sunshine, the sun's surface, and the sun planet itself. One who studies the sunshine only is the preliminary student. One who understands the sun's surface is further advanced. And one who can enter into the sun planet is the highest. Ordinary students who are satisfied by simply understanding the sunshine, its universal pervasiveness, and the glaring effulgence of its impersonal nature, may be compared to those who can realise only the Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth. A student who has advanced still further can know the sun disk, which is compared to knowledge of the Paramatma feature of the Absolute Truth. And the student who can enter into the heart of the sun planet is compared to those who realise the personal features of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Therefore, the Bhaktas, or the transcendentalists who have realised the Bhagavan feature of the Absolute Truth, are the topmost transcendentalists. Although all students who are engaged in a study of the Absolute Truth are engaged in the same subject matter, the sunshine, the sun disk, and the inner affairs of the sun planet cannot be separated from one another, and yet the students of these three different phases are not in the same category.
So let's see if we can understand something of that. That generally there are different types of transcendentalists. There are people who study the Brahman, energy of Krishna. They're called the Gyanis. Gyani because they have some idea, they want some knowledge of God, and they try to speculate and understand that somehow or other this Brahman and themselves are one and the same, which is very nice, but it's only one step along the way. They want something. The Gyanis, what do they want? Why do everybody studies? Because there is some benefit to be gotten from studying. Just like you study at school, you want to become intelligent people. We study so that we can develop and get a good grasp on what's happening in this life, so that we can actually develop a higher standard of happiness. So people study, they try to become knowledgeable about Krishna's Brahman, because what they want is they want to become one with God. They think that by becoming one with God, then I will become very happy. So those are the Gyanis. And the yogis, they are actually trying to understand, they're meditating on the supersoul within the heart. They're a different class of transcendentalists. Certainly the Gyanis, they're transcendentalists because they're trying to focus on the impersonal bodily rays, the effulgence of Krishna from which everything is created. But the yogis, they're trying to focus rather than on the all-pervasive one energy. They're trying to focus on the localized Paramatma within the heart, on that Vishnu form of the Lord within the heart. And their focus is generally by advancing in yoga practice, the hook for them is that they want to gain some wonderful mystic powers and be able to do so many wonderful things. They want to become very expert, not like Paul Daniels, some big magician who can do wonderful things and pull a rabbit out of a hat. But the same basic idea, by using some mystic yoga practice, they can become very powerful. They can control aspects of the world which are mystical, mysterious to the ordinary people who don't know about these things. So this is sometimes called mystic yoga practice. It's very mysterious how to get these mystical powers. But, so they want something. Everybody wants something. And the devotees, they also want something. The devotees of Krishna, they're not focusing their meditation either on the Brahman energy, neither they're focusing their energy on. Is there a problem?
No.
Boys are a little restless? Okay. They're not focusing just on the Brahman energy, the impersonal energy from which everything is created, you know, everything that we see, this whole world, everything is made of Krishna's Brahman energy. They're not focusing just on the supersoul within the heart, but they're focusing on the source of the supersoul and the source of the Brahman energy. That is Krishna. They're focusing on Bhagavan. And the way they focus on Bhagavan, the jnanis are trying to understand Brahman by speculating about how they must be somehow God, one with the Brahman. The yogis are meditating on the supersoul to develop their inner strength and be able to control their mind and senses. But the devotees, the bhaktas, they're focusing on the Supreme Personality of Godhead with bhakti yoga. They're learning how to devote themselves to Krishna, trying to serve Krishna. This is called bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means trying to please Krishna. But their desire is not to get some personal benefit. Their desire, because they realize Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. Therefore, what is the use in my trying to gain something? The bhaktas, they realize that Krishna is the supreme truth and I'm a little particle of Krishna. And my eternal function is to serve Krishna. So the bhaktas, the devotees, they simply recognize that by my constitutional nature, I'm meant for serving Krishna. So let me try to serve Krishna. Let me try to serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna becomes pleased, that Krishna becomes satisfied by my service. Actually, this is the devotee. This is all he wants to do. He wants to please Krishna. And he doesn't want any material benefit. He doesn't want any kind of material benefit which the karmis, the mundanas, the people who are not transcendentalists, the karmis, they don't have any interest in transcendental stuff. They're not interested in Brahman. They're not interested in the Paramatma. They're not interested in Bhagavan. They simply want to enjoy this material world. Either now, in this life, more, better, faster, now. Or those who are a little bit more intelligent will try to do some little austerity and try to make the next life a better place. So they'll, just like supposing you're working in the government service, in the civil service, you do your duties very nicely so that you'll be elevated to a higher position later on. Yes? And as you become higher situated, you become more responsible and you get better and better facilities. You get a better salary if you have a higher post. Yes? So those who are in the material world, who are a little bit more intelligent karmis, they're trying to elevate themselves to a higher standard of happiness by going to a higher planetary system or trying to get better facilities within the material world. Everyone wants to get better facilities in the world, but the karmis, they're working in ignorance. They don't know what the real business of life is. Neither, because if they don't follow the Vedas, then they don't even know how to avoid the sinful reactions that they have to take. They just want the good things. But and if someone's actually intelligent, he understands that, well, in my life I'm having to do so many sinful things. I want to get all the good things, but because in my life I'm having to do so many sinful things, then okay, yes, I'm going to get the highest standard of happiness, but I'm also going to get the highest standard of distress. So this is not a very good deal. But someone who's actually interested and intelligent, the karmakandis, those who follow the Vedas to get elevation to the higher planets by performing sacrifices which are meant to cut down their sinful reactions and promote them to a higher plane of existence, to a higher planetary system, at least they're following the Vedas, which is a good step. But they're not transcendentalists because they're still interested in happiness within this material world. The jnanis, they're interested in spiritual benefit. They want to become one with God. The karmis, they're interested only in material benefit. The jnanis, they want some spiritual benefit, to become one with God. The yogis, they're getting some spiritual benefit. They're getting some meditation expert in fixing their mind on the super soul, and the byproduct of what they're getting is some mystic powers. But the devotees, they're not interested in any material benefit, neither they're interested in any spiritual benefit. They only want to serve Krishna. This is their business. This is the business of the devotee, because they realize that Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. I'm part of Krishna. I'm meant for serving Krishna. So let me serve Krishna. So, although those who worship Brahman and those who worship Paramatma and those who worship Bhagavan, they're all transcendentalists, they're not on the same platform. It's not that it's all one. No, it's one, but it's different. They're all worshipping God, they're all trying to focus on God, but they're on different levels of understanding. But Brahma iti, Paramatma iti, Bhagavan iti sabjite. Those who worship Bhagavan, Krishna says, Yogi nam api sarvesham, madgate nantaratmana, shraddhavan bhajate yomam, same yoktatamo mataha. But of all the yogis, jnana yogis, astanga yogis, mystic yogis, or the bhakti yogis, of all of them, those who are engaged in my transcendental loving service, absorbed in serving me with great love and faith, Krishna says, same yukta tamo mataha. Yukta means they're linked with me. Uttama, they are the topmost of all yogis, and they're the highest of all. So Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, he's clearly spelling it out, that all yogis are not equal. There are jnana yogis, there are mystic yogis, and there are bhakti yogis. They're all yogis, but the best are the devotees. And even the jnana yogis who are struggling to understand how they're coming one with God, Krishna says, bahunam janmanam ante, jnanavan, these jnanis, after many, many births and deaths, bahunam, many, many, janmanam, after many, many births and deaths, one who is actually in knowledge, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, someone who knows that Vasudev, myself, Krishna, because Krishna is speaking, he's speaking about himself in a detached way, that Vasudeva, because Krishna, he's the son of Vasudev, he's Vasudeva, he's the all-pervading supreme personality of Godhead, one who knows that Vasudeva is everything, Samahatma Sudurlabha, such a great soul, Krishna says, is very rare. So Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is not interested in being boastful or banging on about his own glories. But Krishna is being asked by Arjuna, now you please explain to me transcendental knowledge. So Krishna is taking this opportunity because he's a gentleman. He's being asked by Arjuna, therefore he's explaining about himself. So this we should understand, that this whole setup of Bhagavad Gita, and it is a setup. Setting the scene means it's a setup, actually. It's a setup because Arjuna is a great devotee of Krishna. He has no business being bewildered. But this whole scene has been set so that this discussion can take place. Arjuna has apparently been put into ignorance just so that he can ask Krishna all these really important questions, so that Krishna can explain everything about transcendental knowledge. So this chapter 2, the contents of the Gita summarized, we're going to see how Krishna is explaining everything about himself to Arjuna. And this point, which Prabhupada's explaining here, is to illustrate the real purport of this verse, which is that someone who knows the higher values of life, someone who knows what is what, he won't be acting in this way, saying, no, I can't fight, I can't do my duty. No. Someone who actually knows the values of life, who knows what is what, he must act according to his duty. So here Prabhupada is explaining, he's giving the purport to this verse to give us the understanding what is the principle behind the Vedic knowledge that Krishna is explaining to Arjuna. So let's, any questions so far? Any comments so far? It's a long purport. There's much to discuss, actually. And we won't read everything of this purport this week. Actually, chapter 1, I was just looking at the verses that Prabhupada gave lectures on. 5 times Prabhupada lectured. There are 5 recordings of Prabhupada's different classes on the first verse of this chapter. And there are at least 2 separate places where Prabhupada's lectured on this verse. And he's also given a very long purport. So it's good to try to understand what Krishna is actually saying in here. So let's read a little bit more. So, Ashok Prabhu, would you like to read the next paragraph for us, please?
The
Sanskrit word? On page 63?
Yeah. The Sanskrit word Bhagavan is explained by the great authority Parasara Muni, the father of Yashad Vyasadeva, the Supreme Personality who possesses all riches, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation, is called Bhagavan. There are many persons who are very rich, very powerful, very beautiful, very famous, very learned, and very much detached, but no one can claim that he possesses all riches, all strength, etc. entirely. Only Krishna can claim this because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No living entity, including Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Narayan, can possess opulences as fully as Krishna. Therefore, it is concluded in the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma himself that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to or above him. He is the primeval Lord or Bhagavan, known as Govinda, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. And there's a Sanskrit verse there. There are many.
The verse, very important verse. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchirananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam.
There are many personalities possessing the qualities of Bhagavan, but Krishna is the supreme because none can excel him. He is the supreme person, and his body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He is the primeval Lord Govinda and the cause of all causes.
So this Brahma Samhita is a very important document. Actually, you know, if you get a legal document that explains that this particular land belongs forevermore to such and such a person, you know, someone may come and try and take away your land, but if you've got the document to prove it, no, this land here belongs to this person. That's a very important document. So this document that is being presented here is the statement of the highest authority in this material world, Lord Brahma, the engineer of this universe. And in his Samhita, or his hymn, just like we used to as children, we used to sing hymns. So Lord Brahma, he's also doing hymns. Sometimes in the Indian culture, we call them bhajans or kirtans. But actually these hymns, this is the hymn, this is the song of Lord Brahma. And he's explaining in his Brahma Samhita, he begins it. The very first verse of his Brahma Samhita is Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadiya Adiya Govinda, Sarvakarana Karana. That Krishna is the supreme cause of all causes. Ishvara He is the supreme controller. He is establishing the fact. This is the according to the authority. The legal document is the authority. So the legal authority is given by the judge or the king. You know, legal document. Lord Brahma, he's expressing that Ishvara Parama Krishna, that the supreme controller is Krishna, and Satchidananda Vigraha, that his transcendental body is eternal, full of bliss, and full of knowledge. This is Krishna. Anadiya Adiya Govinda. He is known as Govinda. And he is there is no other cause than himself. Sarva Karana Karanam. He himself is the cause of all other causes. So just like we are all caused by our parents, or this room is caused by the people who built it. Yes? But who caused them? Who caused your parents? If you trace the causes back, the causes, the cause of all causes is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adiya Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. And he has no other cause than himself. This is the statement of Lord Brahma. So here it is very important to understand why this word Bhagavan is being used in Bhagavad Gita. Sanjaya, he's doing the television bit. You know, he's actually got the camera, and at the same time he's got the TV screen, and he's explaining what he's seeing on the TV screen of what's happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he's describing authoritatively, because in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra is asking, what did they do when they got on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? So Sanjaya is very truthfully relating to Dhritarashtra what is the fact. And Bhagavad Gita is such an important document because it is the statement of the supreme authority. It is captured on film, and that transcription of the movie is there, Sanjaya Uvacha, and here he's saying Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the supreme personality of Godhead said. So we should know that Bhagavad Gita is very authoritative, the most authoritative, because it's spoken by the supreme authority himself. But not just that we say, well, Krishna is God because we think he's the greatest. No, scientifically, here it's being discussed. How Krishna is God, that there is no one more famous, no one more powerful. Everybody has some fame, you know. Somebody knows about you. Even in the society of cockroaches, you know, somebody knows about another cockroach, or you know, maybe this cockroach is bigger and more powerful than another cockroach, or maybe is less powerful. Everyone has got some power. Everyone has got, in this material world, everyone knows something, you know, unless they're a total fool or rascal, and they have very little understanding even of who they are or what they are, unless they become completely mad. But every sane person has some knowledge, and even a spider has some beauty in the eye of another spider. The male and the female spiders, they get together and they mate, you know. But, you know, it's pretty rough. But that beauty is there in the eye of the beholder. So some beauty is there, some knowledge is there, some strength is there, some wealth is there. You know, what have you got? Even amongst the animals, the cats and the dogs, you see they're fighting over their territory at night. You hear them screaming and meow, and you know, giving each other a tough time. You know, they're fighting over what is mine. You know, they have some property. But Krishna has all property. Krishna has all strength, all fame, all knowledge, all beauty, all wisdom, and all renunciation, because he's not attached to any of it. He's completely free from all attachment to it. Someone who is renounced, just like some yogi or some charitable man, he's not attached to his wealth. He gives away his wealth to so many people. Oh, it's very nice. It's very wonderful. very wonderful gentleman. Let me maybe try to follow his example. I'll give a penny to this person and a penny to that person. Yeah. And they become attractive. But Krishna possesses all these things in full, actually. So, therefore, scientifically, Krishna is being addressed here as Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. So this is very important. This is being expressed always by the authority. And here we see Prabhupada's explaining that the word Bhagavan is being explained by the great authority Parashara Muni. Parashara Muni, who is he? He's Vyasadeva's father. He's a great authority. He instructed Vyasadeva.